Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
KRBD receives support from Schmock Mechanical Contractors, offering a variety of home appliances by Whirlpool, a full-service dealer providing service and parts. Whirlpool Appliances at Schmock, open 8 to 5, Monday through Saturday at 949 Stedman Street.
Good morning, Southeast Alaska. You're listening to Morning Edition on KRBD Ketchikan. The time now is 8:20 a.m. We're joined this morning by author Mike Harpold. He's a Ketchikan writer. He's the author of a new book called Jumping the Line. How you doing, Mike?
Good.
Pull down the mic there. Should have pulled down the mic there for you. So how you doing? Your new book, describe it. What exactly is your book about?
It's a novel, actually a first novel. It's about the Mexican border. The setting is the border in California and then the San Joaquin and the Imperial Valleys. It's about farm workers, both illegal immigrant farm workers and Mexican-American farm workers, and it traces their lives through a very tumultuous period, a period when we lost control of our borders.
I saw in a description that it could be compared to Grapes of Wrath, and that it puts a human face on a particular social issue that's important right now to America.
Well, that's a very flattering comparison, but it is like Steinbeck's book about farm workers and people whose lives depend on their income from farm labor.
Now, here in Southeast, we're quite a ways away from the Mexican border, but you have experience working with the immigration system, correct?
Yes, I'm retired after 35 years, but, you know, we're not that far away. You know, many of the cannery workers that come up here have worked cycles in California agriculture before coming here.
What sorts of things do you see, issues that face immigrants as they come to the country or have to go back or work in the country illegally or not?
Well, the issue I write about is farm worker poverty. Farm workers today exist in very much the same climate as they existed in Steinbeck's time. Their earnings are probably $10,000 to $12,000 a year and derived from no more than 100, 120 days work a year. And even though wages have improved and in some cases exceed minimum wage, you know, their total earnings have kept them in constant poverty. And it's a cycle that few break out of.
Your book, it's fiction. Is it based though on a particular person, or is it a composite of people that you've met?
It's a composite. It combines the stories of many. I've tried to make it representative of the farm worker experience.
Are there themes that you would want people to take from your book?
Probably the biggest thing is, and probably the is an examination of wealth and wealth distribution, and are really I shouldn't call it an obsession, but cheap labor is such a goal in our economic system. I mean, it's really the give and take between employer and employee, and particularly in low-income, low-skilled occupations, the balance is tilted heavily in favor of business and employers.
Now, you say this is your first novel, and it should be, it's Jumping the Line is the name of the book. It'll be released, you said, hopefully this week, right? It should be hitting stores.
That's right. I'm expecting...
if all goes well, that's what
we're going for. That big UPS van to pull into my street maybe Thursday or Friday.
So what inspired you to write a novel then? It's the first one for you, so I'm sure there's a story behind that to some degree.
Well, I joined the Border Patrol from the upper Midwest. I was born and raised in Wisconsin. And my first assignment was in Calexico, California, at the foot of the Imperial Valley. And that was in 1962. And for the first time in my life, I saw, you know, Mexican labor, stoop labor, farm labor. And it was different. It really was. And then in 1965, I was transferred to a brand new station in Bakersfield, California, that was opened at the beginning, just in time for the grape strike in Delano, which is near Bakersfield. And there I met Cesar Chavez. And that was, and I worked in those fields, you know, checking those fields and farm labor crews for illegal immigrants all through the beginning years of the grape strike. Interestingly, Chavez considered illegal immigrants a threat to his union. He feared, you know, farmers hiring illegal immigrants rather than domestic farm workers, and in the end, that happened, and it caused him to finally, 15 years later, stop trying to organize farm workers. But it, and the other thing, he was attempting to, he wanted to build a real union that could bargain for power, bargain for wages with growers. And the interests of domestic farm workers were very different from the interests of people who had simply jumped the line or trying to get, dollars for work and then go home. Those interests didn't coincide. So it was very much in his interest that we try to keep the Southern San Joaquin free of illegal workers.
You talk about the experience of migrant workers in the 60s during your experiences with the Immigration Service and Cesar Chavez and labor in terms of farm workers. Has anything, what has changed since then in your mind from what you can see?
Very little has changed in the nature of farm work and farm labor, which is too bad. Prior to 1965, we had a mutual program with Mexico, and farmers in Southwest were able to contract for workers from Mexico. That ended in 1965, and it ended because the wages paid to the contract worker became sort of the only wage that was available to everybody. The Bracero's wages were set by law, and California was $1.25 an hour. And because a farmer could readily hire braceros, no domestic farm worker could ask for more. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, that was ended by Congress in 1965, and that was when Chavez began organizing, was at the end of that. But farmers took a sober look at labor availability. And during those years, after the end of the Bracero program, there was a tremendous surge in innovations in agriculture in order to decrease their dependence on labor. For example, the mechanical tomato harvester was developed. And by 1968, 95% of the California tomato crop was harvested by machine. Mm-hmm. And in the winter of 1965, I went to the California Agriculture Exposition up in Davis. And there were prototypes of such things as a mechanical lettuce harvester. It was an electronic arm and claw hand that went down and tested each head of lettuce electronically for firmness. And if it was right firmness, it lopped it off and threw it in a hopper.
Right.
So, and the wine industry, hundreds, thousands of acres of vineyards, which had previously grown table grapes, which were a very labor-intensive industry, were converted to wine grapes simply by not girdling the stalk in the spring. And, table grapes, they girdle the stalk so that the sap can't run back into the ground, and then it makes the grape bigger, and that's why they're nice, big, and juicy. Mm-hmm. But you don't do that, then they're much smaller. And then their harvest is of wine grapes. So, at any rate, all these things happen. And Chavez was successful in organizing, and there was a brief period in the 70s when farm workers could actually make more than the minimum wage. Chavez established health clinics for farm workers. They had contracts. Because of hire back provisions, it dampened the need to migrate. It used to be in the 60s, a typical farm worker family had to move something like 8 times in a course of a year in order to get a median income of $3,000. Well, look at the effect on kids and education. But at any rate, Chavez was able to dampen that by higher back provisions and whatnot. But all that came to an end when we lost control of the border. And the number of Border Patrol apprehensions in 1965 were something like 58,000. By 1973, they'd grown to over 1 million a year.
Wow.
And they stayed at over 1 million a year up until about 5 years ago. And so farmers had this ready source of labor. So there was no longer a need to innovate. And that's sort of where we're at today.
We're joined by Ketchikan writer Mike Harpold, who's author of a new book that's hopefully going to come out this week called Jumping the Line. It's about the experiences of immigrant labor in the United States. I understand you have a few passages from the book that you'd like to read.
Yeah, briefly, I can read you the first couple paragraphs.
Sure.
In line and give it a try. Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico, January 1965. Miguel Hernandez Ochoa glanced across the windblown street at the border fence lit by a lone incandescent bulb, rising from a concrete footing, towering above a hedge of twisted brambles. The barrier was more than twice his height. The interlinked heavy gauge wire formed small diamonds, wide enough to admit the toe of a pointed shoe or 2 fingers of a desperate hand. But on top of the panels, 6 strands of barbed wire were stretched taut, held open in a V by metal brackets at the top of each post. Picture himself at that height while trying to wriggle over the sharpened barbs made him feel dizzy. His muscles tightened and his heart pounded. He was forced to look away. Stepping back into the shadows at the side of a building, he shoved his bare hands under his armpits. The night was cold and his thin coat had no pockets. For 2 days and nights, he had trundled across the deserts of northern Mexico in open freight cars. He had eaten little and was tired. Fighting despair, Miguel thought for a moment about his wife, Concha. She would understand his fear, but she would count on him to find a way to cross the fence.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. That was a passage from Mike Harpold's new book, Jumping the Line, which should be in the stores again, hopefully this week. Can people get it online too, or is it just in stores?
Yes, it'll be available through Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's also going to be available in e-books, and it'll be available here in town at Parnassus and also at Jerry's Books.
Do you have plans to do any events or readings or anything in town in upcoming months?
Yeah, I'm scheduled for some signings, and I think more will develop
as your fame skyrockets. Yeah. then good if you. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Ketchikan's old Mike Harpold, whose new book, Jumping the Line, should be in stores very soon. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sean.